Our gospel reading comes to us from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Listen for the word of God. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to a man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." And then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Dying in a ditch, and then it gets worse. I want you to ditch the name Good Samaritan story. Not Bible, not in the Bible. It's just something we call it, and we're wrong. It is not the story of the Good Samaritan, at least for now. It is the story of Ditch Man. I would like you to call this story from now on, among everybody you see, "Yeah, we heard about the story of Ditch Man today." Because that is where we need to be. We need to be in the ditch with the man who asks the question. Now, in other translations, it says straight up, he was a Jewish man who asked this question. And Jesus doesn't say a person, doesn't say a woman, doesn't say anything else but a Jewish man. You, questioner, you are walking, and this happens to you. I want you to stay with the first question, not the last. The first question, did you see the change? The question was from the man, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus tells a story about who would be the neighbor to a Jewish man. "Who is my neighbor?" But the question at the end of the story is, who was a neighbor? You see the switch? We love to do that. Oh, we love to do that. We love to take what is personal to us and put it out there as a generic label of other things and people so you can say, "Yes, neighbor, yes, no, but yes, neighbor, no," put it in labels again. And instead of saying, "What does that mean to me?" Now, in technical terms, if you go to seminary, you learn that this is where you cross from preaching to meddling. Preaching to meddling. Because you're telling me how to live instead of telling me about things over there. The question is, who is my neighbor? You see, us Christians, especially as us wonderful, fairly well off, First world Christians, we love to take these Bible stories and make them into some kind of morality play. We do it all the time. You say, this is the way you should act. Here's the rules for action. This is what you should do. This is the way the neighbors. Let's all be the good Samaritan. That's not what Jesus wants us. Jesus is telling us about the man in the ditch. That's where we need to be. In a ditch. Stay in the ditch. Where Jesus puts us. Can you imagine? You're having a bad day. You are going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Not an easy trip. A lot of low hills. A lot of desert. Not a good time. Not a good trip. And it is the way to say, if you want to say bad neighborhood, you wouldn't say infested, you wouldn't say Baltimore, you wouldn't say that. You would say go from Jerusalem to Jericho. That right then, people are saying, oh, that is a tough road. And he gets beaten up and left for dead. And people walk by and they go, yeah, that's how it happens. I wouldn't do that, you know, on his own, should have brought bodyguards. You know it's a bad part of the country. Come on now. Yeah. And the audience is going around and he goes, and then the Samaritan comes. And everybody says, oh, of all the things, I thought we were at the worst part of the story past us, but now that Samaritan comes. Because you know the Samaritan was a half-breed. He was a half-breed traitor. He was a half-breed traitorous blasphemer. They didn't do anything right. Oh, collaborator with the enemy. Oh, they did worship all wrong. You did not set foot in Samaria. You went around Samaria. If you touched some Samaritan sand, you made sure to take it off your feet because it was horrible. So imagine you're in the ditch. You've been beaten up. You're dying. You're robbed. You're naked. And your worst enemy comes down the road. What do you do? Maybe you get a little bit further in the ditch. No, I don't want him to see me like this. He's probably going to kick me again. How can your day get worse than have all this happen to you and then be dependent, not on the help of strangers, that might be okay, but on the help of your worst enemy? The person you don't want to be around, that doesn't want to be around you, you totally agree on that, and that's all you agree on. Your worst enemy. I don't know, for some of you, maybe they're wearing a MAGNA hat, huh? Some of you, maybe they have an Antifa shirt on, huh? Maybe they have some clown hood on. Maybe they have whatever riles you up. That's what they are. And they're coming down the road and you're lying in the ditch. I can almost imagine the Good Samaritan coming over to help the guy dying. He goes, no, get away. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'll be fine. Just a flesh wound, you know. Changes things. The one you hate it helps you. That is a bigger struggle than the 5 steps to being a good neighbor. Can you let someone that you hate help you? Can you see the hated other, the thing, the enemy, the traitor, the one we don't need, the one that should go back where they came from? Get back to Samaria, you Samaritan. What are you doing here in decent people land? That one. Someone you need for your very life. Someone you need the help of right now. You see, Jesus wants us in the ditch so that we are faced with that question. As soon as you jump out that ditch and start walking along, whether you're the priest or the Levite, the religious person or the good Samaritan, as soon as you get out of the ditch, you're out of the story that Jesus wants you in. Jesus wants you in that ditch. Jesus wants you in that ditch and seeing your hated enemy coming by. And he wants you right there. And he wants you to answer the question, who is my neighbor? Well, he didn't used to be my neighbor, but I might reconsider now. It's not giving a dollar on the street to the guy who needs a help. It's not giving a gold coin in the Salvation Army kettle at Christmas time. It's not even going up and down mountain roads and picking up tourists that just can't believe that the road is closed. Like my daughter, God bless her. She was the one who got picked up, not the truck. Okay. To see the other, the foreign one, the hated one, is necessary for your survival. Not tolerate it, not put up with, not diversity, but someone I need for my very survival. Now, I don't want to tell you you shouldn't help the poor, you shouldn't be a neighbor. Spoiler alert, yeah, you should. But we're bigger, we're better, we're further than that. I mean, that's Mr. Rogers, a Presbyterian minister, for your Lutherans out there. I like to point that out.
He loved us too.
Yeah, he loved everybody. And that's good. But I expect more of you, just like Jesus does. He expects you to be in the ditch and to consider who your neighbor is from the ditch, not from the road. Who do I discount, overlook, discard, see as worthless, see as a drag on society, see as a pain in my side, see as someone I don't need, someone I'd be better off with, without? Who can I see from the ditch that is necessary for my life to continue? 2 out of 5 Fortune 500 companies, 45% of Fortune 500 companies were founded either by immigrants or children of immigrants. If we had banned them, if we went to zero immigration level, as some would like, we would still be an okay country, I suppose, but 45% of our Fortune 500 companies would not be there. Almost half would be gone. 3.2 million immigrants run their own business here and employ vastly disproportionate amounts of people. Are they the enemy? Are they the foreigner? Are they the invader? Should they go back where they came from? Or do we need them to get us out of the ditch? That's where Jesus wants you to be. Now, Jesus leaves you with the question. I ain't going to tell you about it. He asks you the question of the ditch. Who's a neighbor to the guy in the ditch? And you can just hear the teeth clenched. I suppose it was the Samaritan. Jesus, I'm never going to ask him another question. Lord, I could have quit when I was ahead, but no, I had to go on to justify myself. What clenches your teeth? That's where you need to be. So I got installed in First Church. I served full time in a small town. I guess compared to Truckee, it wasn't small. It was an average sized town. It had one hotel, the Rosedale, zero, one hotel. That was it. If you either stayed there or you just kept driving. There was no bed and breakfast. There was no Airbnb. There was nothing like that. It was Rosedale or on the road you go. Well, a couple came up from, God bless them, the Dursons. They drove hundreds of miles to come to my installation from my home church where I grew up. They didn't tell me they were coming. They just wanted to surprise me. They came up, and they came and stayed in the Rosedale Motel. Yeehaw! And just as they were checking in to the itty-bitty hotel in this itty-bitty town, far away from where they live, comes roaring up 2 dozen motorcycles. It was thunder in the valley. And these amazingly clean-cut motorcycle gang gets off their bikes, comes swarming into the hotel, and buys up every room there. And they all had guns. Every one of them. This was before open carry was popular. She came to my installation with barely open eyes. She did not get one wink of sleep because she was surrounded by a motorcycle gang, armed, and there was nowhere to go. She was frightened for their life. Any minute, they're going to start carousing and breaking down the door. And what am I going to do? She stayed up all night, and her husband was with her. And I go, oh, Lord, 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 I wish there was another hotel. Oh. We checked out the next morning, bleary-eyed. Nothing had happened. Everybody was gone. And she looks at the register, and she said, what was that motorcycle gang that was here last night? And the hotel register says, oh, those? Those were the Association of Motorcycle Police. They were on their way to the conference in South Bend. And she said to me, I was the safest I have ever been in my entire life, and I spent my whole night in terror and fear. That's staying in the ditch. Get out of the ditch. The people that you hate, the people you don't want here, the people that don't belong here, the people that are against you, you need them. Not just they allowed to be here. You need them to live. We need them to live. Don't stay in your hotel room in terror. You're the safest you've ever been. Amen.